It is just really, really good to be back with you again and see everybody. Welcome to visitors, Bible school students, all of you are glad you're here. Let's begin this portion of the service with prayer. Father, we just come to you again this morning. We come in the name of Jesus. We come thanking you, Lord, for your great salvation and for the grace that you've so richly poured out into our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would open those wells of salvation to us and those showers of grace that you send down from above, that you would just help us to just open our lives to that grace and that we would live in that grace and by the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that you would just be with us in this service, and I pray that you would speak into our hearts through your word and that you would just help us, Lord, to be here present in mind and in spirit as well as in body, and that you would just direct this service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the junior class, do we have any brave juniors here who want to give us your verse again? Okay, so one of you juniors, can you tell me where that scripture was found that you just had, that your memory verse? I know you know it. Just need to be brave enough to tell me. Somebody. Okay, what about one of you other more elderly people? Okay, Josiah's going to tell us. Galatians 6:8. Let's go look at Galatians 6:8. Thank you, Josiah. So we were talking about this last night over at my house, and it's a beautiful verse, or a very impactful verse, but when we were actually going over it, I realized how many large words are involved and how for a junior it might be a little bit of a challenge to take all this and put it all together. So help me out here a little bit. I'm going to read it again, and then we'll read it in context, but first let's just look at the verse itself. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we were doing some paraphrasing down to junior last night on that. What is sowing? Somebody, one of you youngsters, want to tell me what sowing is? Your moms do that with dresses, right? Yes, but that's not what it's talking about. Sowing is planting. Sowing is planting. I'm sure you juniors knew that, but maybe not the preschoolers. Sowing is planting. And then we've got a flesh. What is flesh? What is your flesh? Need some braver... No, don't need braver people. Just need people that we have to be brave. Our flesh could be ourselves. So one young person asked me last night if sowing is planting seeds and our flesh is like our muscles, are we supposed to put seeds in our skin? No, not any of that. But our flesh could be ourselves, the part of us that is ourselves before we meet God. So it says basically that if you plant seeds or the kinds of things that encourage our life that we have before God, then we're going to reap corruption. Another big word. So we got reap first. Reap is harvest, or gathering up the things that we planted in the spring. When we harvest the corn at the end of the summer, we're reaping it. But it says we're going to reap corruption if we sow to the flesh. So corruption, what is corruption? Well, corruption is a lot of things. One of the things it is destruction of ourselves. And that could be either physically or spiritually. So parsing this down a bit, if we plant seeds of behaviors or actions that are after the things that are against God or before God, we're going to reap a harvest or get a harvest of destruction or of negativity or bad things. But then it says, He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So how do we plant good seeds to the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is a part of us that God places in us. And when God places his hand on our life and we hear his call and we do things his way by his power, then a different process takes effect. And it says that we're going to, because of that Spirit, reap life everlasting, or that good things are going to happen, both in this life and in the next life, I believe. Let's read this in context. I'm just going to read verse 7 down through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I was thinking about this verse and how it applies to our Christian life, and I'd like to speak about that a bit this morning. And I've entitled the opening Small Seeds and Big Harvests. So first of all, I've got three principles of sowing and reaping. These are not original with me. I don't remember where I got them. But I think they've been helpful in understanding sowing and reaping to me. Number one, we reap in kind with what we sow. So the kinds of actions that we plant in small ways, those are the kinds of results we're going to get back. We reap in kind. We reap more than we sow. When we plant one seed in the ground, we get one ear of corn, or maybe actually 2 ears of corn, don't we? How many kernels of corn on an ear? Maybe hundreds? So there's many, many more kernels of corn that come from that one kernel that got planted than what was originally planted. We reap more than we sow. And number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. We begin planting at one time of our life, and we will reap in a different season. I'd like to also add that we are always sowing and always reaping. Always sowing and always reaping. So there are people who may feel like they have sowed their seed and they're receiving a harvest that they don't want, and they feel it's too late for them. I'd like to challenge that kind of thinking. We're always sowing. We're always reaping. It's never too late to begin planting good seed now. So what are some ways we can look at this? The essence of Christianity, we believe, is not knowledge, but discipleship. It's in a lively hope we talked about this morning. It's in faith that works. It's in faith that follows Christ. It's in faith that does not lean on itself for its own good works. Discipleship is not just self-discipline, but it's surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. And then as we do that, as we fall at his feet in repentance and surrender, and he gifts us with his Spirit. And that Spirit begins to work in our lives. As we surrender to him, he grows more powerful in us. And that's the process by which, that's the process we call discipleship. So what are some ways we can plant seeds, or some areas that we can grow in discipleship? One of them is God consciousness. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, we were talking about the hard times and about how the good times prepare us, or our actions in the good times prepare us for our responses, or what we will act like or respond like in those hard times. And one of the things I think we need to be try to always do is to be conscious of God. Be conscious of God where we are today. And these are just some things that I personally would like to grow in, personally like to plant seeds in. God consciousness, surrender, to give my life over to God for his control. Surrender doesn't mean we just sit there waiting for things to happen to us, but it means we give ourselves into God's control and then he moves us. I'd like to grow in walking in repentance. It's so easy to self-justify and to become defensive and to not be a lover of the truth, but just to live where I am and justify that spot. I'd like to grow in walking in repentance so that God can continue to change me. I would like to grow in my love for the truth. I would like to grow in my hunger and thirst after righteousness. And in Christian graces, what are some things that we would like to have as a part of a life? Wouldn't you like to be a person of gratefulness? A person who is characterized by unselfishness? A person known for, not known for, as much as you are this. A person of empathy, a person of humility, a person of honesty, a person of forgiveness, a person of encouragement. Wouldn't you like that to be true of yourself? Not for, obviously, if these things are real in your life, you won't have pride in your life. But wouldn't you like that to be true of you? That God had control of your life to that extent, that was the harvest that you were reaping. When we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look over at Galatians 5 just quickly. And it's happening just right before this Galatians 6, 8. Ephesians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That's the harvest that we want. Usefulness in the kingdom, being a peacemaker, having vision, being an overcomer. We all know what we want, but sometimes it's difficult to know how to get there, to get what we want. I'd like to take a look at some common seeds that are planted. I'm going to look at negative and positive. And I'd like us all just to do some self-examination and ask yourself, what kind of seeds am I planting? And I've got a list here, but I thought maybe I'd get you to help me make a list. And children, maybe your parents, your mothers, and your fathers will be good examples to you in speaking up in church when you're asked to speak up in church. And I'd like you to give me some examples of carnal seeds that we might think are not big things when they're planted. And then we'll look at how those turn into patterns of living. But for now, let's start with, give me some examples of things that sometimes we allow into our lives as small seeds, thinking that they won't be a big deal. Anger.
Selfishness.
I'm sorry?
Complaining.
Ridicule or contempt.
Bitterness.
Thank you. I'm going to use the other half of the board, so I'm going to stop there. But I've got my own list here, too. I'm just going to throw some of these out. Self-justification, carnality, grudges, hypocrisy, victimhood, doubt, suspicion of others, rudeness. Rudeness is one that maybe we don't think of as being a sign of carnality. But think about the people in your life who can't do anything about what you can do to them. Who are those people? They're the little people. And some, if you're a parent, they can be your children. If you are a person in authority, they can be people whom you consider to be politically of such a stripe that what you do to them doesn't matter, if we have a certain kind of thinking. Rudeness says a lot more about who we are than about who they are. And this is one of the seeds that, when planted in our children, will grow into adulthood. And it's one of the things that we need to be so careful what kind of seeds we plant in our children. If we are rude and, I'm not saying children are children, they aren't on the level of adults, I know this, but I'm talking about the kind of language and the kind of behaviors we exhibit as norms and as patterns in communicating and working with little people. One day those little people will grow up to stand eye to eye with us, or in my case, probably taller. And you know, what kind of harvest will I reap then? Okay, let's look at some opposites. So if these are seeds of carnality, I'd like to look at some of the patterns, some of the language patterns that go along with this. First of all, I'd like to look at Galatians 5:16. It says this, "I say then, Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Living in carnality, planting carnal seeds, has its own set of language. It's a way we talk when we are living this kind of life. We say things like this: I wish others would stop treating me like that, or doing that to me, or talking about me like that, or being so whatever they are to me. It's not my fault. Everybody's doing it. Why aren't others doing more for me? It's such a little sin. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's watching. Nobody understands. They make me so mad. I know the truth. I don't need advice. If you only knew how many times I've had to forgive him or her. Well, maybe I was a little rough on her. She deserved it. If you only know what I've had to put up with. Those are the kinds of language, that's the kinds of words that we use when we are planting carnal seeds. And the Bible talks about, in Hosea it says, for they that have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. They have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. Our lives are made up of small processes that create larger patterns. And then these patterns of behavior and response end up making up who we are. And if we allow these small patterns to take part in our life, we'll end up with a life that is not what we want it to be. It won't be a life defined by the fruit of the Spirit, but it'll be a life defined by its absence. Okay, let's flip the page. What are some opposites to what we just wrote up on the board? Help me out here again. Instead of anger, what do we have?
Forgiveness. Instead of selfishness. Instead of complaining. Instead of ridicule and contempt. Encouragement. Instead of bitterness. What's the opposite of bitterness? Peace. And instead of pride? Humility. I'm probably getting behind the pulpit here.
Here's some more. Repentance. Crucifixion of self, letting go of hurt, authenticity instead of hypocrisy, agency or the power of choice instead of victimhood, love instead of hate, faith instead of doubt, courtesy instead of rudeness. These are small patterns, small ways that we live our lives, but they bear outsized fruit. What's the language of spiritual planting? And I was coming up with some of these, and I realized that a lot of what was happening was that these were posing themselves, instead of as declarations, as questions. And I think it's easy when we are carnal and we're planting carnal seed to make declarations instead of asking questions. We are accusing instead of self-accusing. Or asking what God wants us to learn. So there are still some declarations that we make planting spiritual seeds, but often we are looking inside our own hearts. What does God want to do in my heart in this hard situation? Am I looking for the truth or looking for my own win? Am I listening for God's direction? What can I do for others? Am I willing to be who God wants me to be? Am I willing to be his hands, his feet, his heart to the people around me? Am I being self-centered or self-justifying? Or how about this? I'm so thankful for the opportunities and blessings God has given me. Or how about this? I want to take responsibility for my actions and attitudes without blaming others. How can I grow in this season of my life? I'm so grateful that God understands. I'll stand up for the people in my life who don't have a voice. I'll look for people who are in need of a friend. I will seek advice from those who love God. I'll spend time in prayer. I don't keep score. That's God's job. This is the language of people who are seeking the Lord and are planting spiritual seed. Process takes inevitable effect. God says that as long as there is creation, there's going to be seed time and harvest. It's inevitable. The things we plant are the things that are sown. That are sown are the things that we reap. Evil seeds of self-justification, of anger, self-centeredness will produce a harvest of muddled thinking, of bitterness, of isolation, and of eventual damnation. We have to see the little, easily overlooked, easily justified choices that pander to our carnality for what they are. We have to see these things as the harbingers of a harvest of defeat, of lost potential, and of damage to all around me. People who indulge in these destructive patterns not only sow a harvest of death in their own lives, but cast the devil's seeds into the lives of their families, their congregations, and the people they randomly meet, causing these others to be placed in temptation themselves. It sounds terrible, but these kinds of patterns turn people into the devil's agents of sowing temptation and carnality and negativity all around them. That's why Jesus said, if one of you would offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it's better for you that you had a millstone tied around your neck and you were cast into the othermost parts of the sea. That's what Jesus thinks about this kind of behavior. But if we allow God into our lives, we invite him into the small choices we're faced with. We accept his bag of seeds. We throw away the devil's seeds. Let him take control of our lives. Seek the good seeds of prayer, seeking God intentionally, spending time in the scriptures, seeds of empathy, of thankfulness, of teachability, of responsibility, of compassion, of agency. These things are going to produce a good harvest. We all want this harvest of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We want to have this harvest of meaningful relationships and fulfillment and usefulness and mentoring. And we can have it, all of us. The choice is ours. God will not force himself upon us, but he does stand at the door and knock. Let's open the door. Let's ask God to give us grace to live above the law, not just avoiding the evil. If you notice that these things on the board behind me, the opposite of them is just not the cessation of them. The opposite of bitterness is just not being bitter, but the opposite of bitterness is forgiveness. What do we have here? Is peace. The opposite is a positive. It's not just an absence of negative. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, working in those little things. And let's have patience. Let's not give any provision to the flesh. Let's start with repentance and continue with perseverance. Let's lean on God and not on ourselves. And let's sow to the Spirit, and God will take care of the harvest. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126:5. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's kneel for prayer.